The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Hashem el Moshe ve'al Aaron lemor. Hashem said to Moshe and Aaron, saying, Zeis chukas ha-teira, asher tzivo, Hashem lemor. This is the chukas ha-teira. A chukas means statute. Mishpatim are laws that we can readily understand. And there are laws that perhaps even we ourselves would have decreed them had not the Torah given them to us. For example, that you shall not steal, you shall not murder. Chukim are mitzvahs that we cannot readily understand. And Rashi brings, because the nations of the world and the Sotan come and they point a finger to Klal Yisrael and they say, what kind of mitzvah is this? Why do you do this mitzvah? So therefore, the Torah writes that this is a chukah, zeis chukas ha-Torah. It is a statute, gzeirehi melefonai, it's a decree from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ein lecha reshus lahara achareha. You have no right to challenge it. Even if you do not understand it, or other chukim of the Torah, still you must fulfill them, because they are very deep, and not many are capable of understanding these mitzvahs. And then the Torah tells us in particular about this mitzvah, Daber el b'nei Yisrael v'yikhu eilecho fora aduma t'mimo. Speak unto Israel, and they shall take for me a fora aduma, a cow, which is red, t'mimo, which is complete, it has no blemish, must be completely red, without a blemish, without any physical blemish. Asher ein b'imum, asher le'olo ale'ol. And also a cow which never was put to the yoke, which never worked. Unisatim Esoyal Elozer HaKoyin, give it to Elozer HaKoyin. Elozer was the son of Aaron. And he was the Sgan, he was the Viceroy, the Associate Koyin to Aaron, not the Koyin Godel, not the High Priest. Vahitzio Esoyal Mechutz Lamachaneh, and take it outside of the camp, v'shochad eiso lefonot, and there it shall be shechted, slaughtered, v'lokach elozer hakoyin midomo be'etzboy, and Aaron shall take from the blood with his finger, v'hizo el meichak p'neo el moed midomo sheva pomim, and he shall sprinkle the blood towards the ohel moed, towards the Mishkan, or in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, towards the Mishkan, 7 times. V'sorach es ha-porah le'inot. And then he shall completely burn the porah. Then the Kohen shall take an etz erez ve'ezei v'shnis lo'as. He shall take a piece of cedar and he shall take from an ezov plant that was a very small plant. The cedar was the tallest and the ezov was the smallest. V'shnis lo'as, and he shall take some wool dyed by the tolas. This was a scarlet. And he shall throw it into the Sreifa Sapporo, throw it into the fire. And the Torah goes into detail, great detail, as to what should be done. The ashes of the Porah should be collected, and it should be kept by the Mishkan, or by the Beis HaMikdosh. And what should be done with these ashes? Anegeh b'meis l'chol nefesh odom v'tomei shiva shomim. That we have what is known as Tumas Meisim. That if someone comes into contact with a dead person, he becomes tomei, impure. And he becomes impure for 7 days. How should he purify himself? Hu yischat avoy b'yem ha-shlishi v'yem ha-shvi yitor. Im lo yischat b'yem ha-shlishi v'yem ha-shvi lo yitor. He shall take from this efer ha-porah, from the dust, the ashes of the porah aduma, together mixed. It should be mixed with mayim chayim, with spring water, and it should be sprinkled on him on the 3rd day and on the 7th day. And then together with a tefillah b'mikveh, when he immerses himself in the mikveh, then he will become tohor. If he will not, and so it is with all vessels that become impure by coming into contact with a dead person. And if he does not do this, and he enters into the Beis HaMikdash or the Mishkan, then he is guilty and warrants a very great punishment. This, concisely, is the mitzvah of the Pora Aduma. So basically this means that the Pora Aduma was used to be metahere tamei mesim, to purify those who came into contact with the dead. Today we do not have the Pora Aduma, so therefore we cannot completely purify ourselves, because everyone always comes into contact with dead people or with people that came into contact with the dead. So we are all tamei mesim today, and it is impossible to purify oneself from this tumah without the Efer HaPorah, without the ashes of the Pora Aduma. And even if we would be tovel b'mikveh, if we would immerse ourselves in a mikveh, this might purify ourselves from other tumais, but not from tamei mesim. Therefore today we are all b'cheskes tumah. We cannot reach the spiritual purity that one could reach during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, or when we had the Efer HaPorah. This is a reason why, even if we would have a Beis HaMikdash today, we wouldn't be able to bring sacrifices, or we wouldn't be able to eat from the sacrifices, or we wouldn't be able to eat from the gifts which are given to the Kahanim or the Levim, unless first we would purify ourselves. This mitzvah, the Torah specifically refers to as Zos Chukas HaTorah. This is a statute of the Torah, which means that its meaning is very, very deep. And Shlomo HaMelech, King Solomon, who was the wisest of all men, so he wrote, Omarti Echkomo, that I said that I have become wise, V'hira Chayke Mimeni, but the Torah is still very far from me. And, in a way, he was referring to this mitzvah. Because to completely understand this mitzvah is something that is very, very far from human comprehension. However, there are a few things that we can understand. And let's spend this evening seeing what are one of or two of those things that can give us or bring us a little closer to this mitzvah. There are several questions that can be asked. One is, this sacrifice was called a chatos. States here in the Pasuk chatosi. A chatos means a sin offering. An offering that comes to be mechaper, for atonement. If this was merely coming to purify one from a tumah of mesim, of dead people, so then why is this also referred to as a sin offering, as a chatos? A second question. Why dafke did the Torah choose a porah? A cow. Another question, why aduba? Why a red cow? A third question, why tamimo? Why must it be complete and without any blemish? And another question is, usually a mitzvah was given where all of the kahanim, all of the priests could do it, or it was given specifically to the kohen gadol, to the high priest. Here we see this mitzvah, Daber, speak to Elozer HaKohen, Elozer the son of Aaron. And from here Rashi brings mitzvosei bisgan, the mitzvahs with the sgan HaKohen, for the associate Kohen, not the high priest. What is the significance of this? Rashi brings at the end of the parsha, at the end of this parsha of Pora Aduma, in Posuk in Posuk Beis, at the end of Posuk Chof Beis, Rashi states, Umedrish Agodos Ha'atakti Miseidus Sharamesha Hadarshan. But he brings a medrash from Ramesha Hadarshan that answers many of the questions that we asked. Torah Aduma, V'yichu Eilecho Mishalehem, that you shall take from yourselves, Kishem Shehem Porku Nizme Azov Le'egel Mishalehem Kach Yoviyazu Le'kapor Mishalehem. That this sacrifice is coming to bring atonement for the Egel Azov, for the golden calf. And therefore everyone must bring from yourself. It must come, you must bring the porah, not someone else. Just like it was from your gold that you made the Egel Azov, the golden calf, so you must all bring the porah, this cow, to atone on the golden calf. So we see that besides coming to be Matara Mesim, to purify those who were in contact with dead, it also comes to atone for the golden calf. So this answers the question, why is it called a chatos, a sin offering? Because it also came for atonement. Porah Aduma, why a porah? Because if it's coming to atone for the golden calf, there the sin was with a calf. A calf is the species of a cow. So therefore, you must bring a cow. All right? This answers why it's from the species of the cow. But why not a calf? A young cow? So Rashi brings, Moshel leben shivcho shetina if palten shel melech, omrei tovei imai utkanei hatseye kach tovei pora utchaper ala egl. An example that the maidservant of the king, her baby son went and he made a mess in the palace. So they say, call the mother and let her clean it up. So the calf caused the churban, the calf caused the whole destruction, because it was through the calf that Klal Yisrael sinned. So therefore we say, bring the mother and let her atone. That's why it must be from the cow family, but a calf. Aduma, why should it be red? Im Hashem, im Yadimu Katele, Shahachet Kori Edim. Because sin is referred to as something as red. And since this represents the great sin of the golden calf, therefore we must take something which was red. Timimo, why must it be complete and without blemish? Because Klal Yisrael were Timimim. They were perfect. We must understand that the sin of the golden calf was the cardinal sin of Klal Yisrael. When they received the Torah, they rose to tremendous heights. The Gemara tells us they rose to the height of Odom Arishin Kedem Achet, of the first man before his sin, when man was in a perfection which we do not conceive, we do not understand. And when man sinned and Chava sinned, he tell Anochash Zuhama L'Secho. The serpent, who represented the Ra, the evil in the world, he gave forth his poison into Chava and into Adam. And it went through all of the generations. Which means that after the first sin, man fell. Like the Torah tells us that he was driven out of Gan Eden. No longer could he stay there. He fell tremendous, tremendous levels, to the level of what he is today. But at the giving of the Torah, that brought such a purification to Israel, that they rose again to the heights of Odom Arishon, Kedem Achet, to the first man before his sin. But then, on the 40th day, when they were waiting for Moshe Rabbeinu to return from the mountain, They heard the Ten Commandments, they heard the giving of the Torah. And Moshe then went up to the mountain, and on the 40th day when he didn't return, and they thought that he wasn't returning, it was a miscalculation in how to calculate the 40 days. They went and they made for themselves a golden calf. At that time, Chozru Azuhama, the poison of the serpent, returned to the whole world. And the whole world fell again with Israel. So this was a sin, which was a cardinal sin by Klal Yisrael, and something that we were never completely purified from. Right at the time when they received the Torah, they went and they served another god. So at that time, Shoyu Tamimim, they were perfect. V'nase b'malim balimumin, and through this hate, through this sin, they became balimumin, they became full of blemish. So therefore we bring this Pora Aduma, which is a Tamima, which is perfect. Tavayzu t'chapo aleho. Let this come and be machaper, v'yachsru litmusam. And they should return to their perfection. That's why it must be perfect. Why to Elozer HaKohen? Because Aaron was involved in the building of the Egel Azov, of the golden calf. People came to Aaron because Moshe wasn't there, and they told Aaron, build for us a golden calf. And Aaron tried to stop them, and he saw he couldn't. So then he tried to stall, and Aaron had all many types of cheshbeinus, many calculations. But in the end, he built it himself. Not that Cholilo, he was interested in serving it, but he felt he had to do it. Since Aaron himself built it, so ein kategor nasa sneger, a prosecutor cannot serve also as the defense attorney. And this Pora Aduma is coming in defense of Klal Yisrael, therefore Aaron cannot bring it. That's why here was mitzvose bizgan. Really the high priest, the Kohen Godel, should bring it. But because he could not, so the mitzvah was with the Kohen next in line, Elozer his son, the Sagan HaKohen. This answers for us a good many questions. But still, what needs to be understood is we see now that this Pora came for two reasons. It came to purify the Tamei Mesim, those who were Tamei, and it came to be Machaper, to forgive Al Egel Azov and the Golden Calf. What is the relationship between these two subjects? To purify someone from being Tamei LaMesim and to atone for the Golden Calf. Seems that one doesn't have anything to do with the other. One was a sin, and the other is a situation. And secondly, also what needs more explanation is that we said that the reason why it's an egel, a calf, we gave the example of the mother and her young child. The mother is responsible, or the mother must fix the sin of the young child. All right, we can understand that by a mother and a young child. But with a cow and a calf, that the cow must fix the sin of the calf, this doesn't work out so well. The Maral, in his Sefer Gorayi, he goes into a very deep explanation, which we'll try to understand somewhat this evening. And that is, firstly, we must understand that there is a very strong link between Tamei Mesim, someone being impure from the dead, and between Avodah Zorah, idolatry. Actually, we see this link in the Chazal, the sages. For example, they always refer to the sacrifices of the idolaters as Zivchei Mesim, the sacrifices of the dead. When you bring a sacrifice to an idol, or you bring a sacrifice to some other type of god, this is referred to as Zivchei Mesim, the sacrifices of the dead. So you see that they call idolatry with the word Mesim, the dead. Another source we have on this is the Gemara in Masechta Shabbos, Perek Rebbe Kiva. The Gemara says, "Avedizora metame kemes," that idolatry, a statue or some other type of idolatry, which is served as a god, becomes tome, gives off an impurity, just like a dead person. So we see there's a link between the two. And we see also, the Gemara tells us, in Masechet Aveir Zora, Leinitnu Torah leYisrael, elekedesh leYishleit behem Malach HaMoves. The Torah was given to Israel in order that the Malach HaMoves, the angel of death, should have no power over them. And when Torah was given to Israel, and when they rose to the heights of Adam HaRishon, the angel of death no longer had a power over them. Just like Adam HaRishon, the first man before the sin, that the angel of death had no power. But when they sinned at the golden calf, then death was returned to the world. So we see that through idolatry, death came back to the world. So again, we see this link. And the Gemara brings a pasuk that we're all familiar with. The pasuk in, we say it in the Shir Shel Yom on Tuesday, for Yom Shlishi. Ani amarti elokim atem. Ani amarti elohim atem. Uvenei elyon kulchem. I said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking, I said that you were like a god, and you were b'nei elyon, you were a people of a higher world. Ochein ke'odem tamusun, u'kechad asorim tipolu. But, alas, you shall die as a man, and you shall fall as one of the kings. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, that I said, I thought you were like a god. You were a people from another world. This is what he said at the giving of the Torah. But when you went and served the golden calf, so now you shall die like a man, and you shall fall like one of the kings. Even a person that's a king, but he also can fall. This means at the time of the giving of the Torah, you rose above the angel of death. But now that you went and served the golden calf, now you came within his power. So we see that the idolatry of the golden calf brought death to the world. So we see there is a definite link between idolatry and between death. Tumas meisim, the impurity of the dead. Could you open it a little? What is the reason for this? The reason for this is a very deep one. And that is, when a person serves idolatry, be it he's serving an idol, or he's serving a man, or he's serving a Novi Sheker, a false prophet, or he's serving Echod Min HaMazolish, one of the stars, the sun, or of the celestial beings, any type of idolatry that there is, and which we have today, so many of the great religions of the world are built on these foundations. Why is he doing this? He is seeking, he is searching for the haschola v'sheirish l'chola elam. He is searching for the beginning of the world. He is searching for the ultimate power and force of all creation. This is why a person serves. Idolatry also has a degree of greatness in it. The Telzer Rosh Yeshiva once said, I recall, that we shouldn't think that the, especially the ancient idolaters, were necessarily such fools. Because when they saw a world, and they saw great oceans, and they saw the acts of creation, and they saw the sun and all of the stars, they realized that there were great wonders and phenomena. And they searched. They wanted to find who created all of this. Who controlled it? So they searched. It was a quest to find the master of all of this. There were those that served fire because they saw the great wonders of fire. There were those who served the sun. They realized that the sun was the master, the physical master of the world. There were those who served the oceans. There were those who served the rains, because they realized that the rains brought life to the world. And this came from a greatness in people. Today, idolatry on that degree does not exist very much. Firstly, there are many who are complete atheists. The Gemara tells us that someone who serves idolatry, this is a higher level than an atheist. Because an atheist is someone who denies that there is any master. It's a complete denial. While the idolaters, they are seeking the master of the world. And many times, even when they serve one master, they realize that perhaps there's an ultimate master over that one. Secondly, there's a Gemara that tells us that idolaters, the idolaters of Chutz La'aretz, of outside of Eretz Yisrael, are not real idolaters in many senses. But Rak Minigavi Seyam Biyadeham, they're merely doing what their fathers did and what their forefathers did. It's mechanical. But the true idolaters, there was a degree of greatness. They were searching for the master of the world. But their ultimate findings were mistaken. They didn't find the master of the world. They found something else. Not that they couldn't, but they went off the road. They were either misled by others or misled by themselves. The Rambam speaks at it at length at the beginning of Hilchos Avodah Zarah. But the fact remains, they are searching and they want to serve the ultimate, the source of all force in the world. Except they didn't find it. So what then are they serving? They're serving something which is completely dead. They're looking for the source of life and they haven't found it. And they're serving something which is dead. On the other hand, someone who serves HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, he has found the source of all life. He has found the ultimate beginnings and the ultimate power in the entire universe. And he's serving it. So he's serving the source of life. Therefore, when someone serves the Almighty, on him it's written, "Va'atem advekim b'Hashem lekechem chayim kulchem hayom," that those of you who cleave to the living God, you are all living today. But those who serve idolatry, that's a dead end street. They are serving something which has no life in it by itself. If it is living, that's only because the Almighty gave it life. It's like Shlema HaMelech wrote, David HaMelech wrote, they have eyes and they don't see, they have a mouth and they don't speak, they have a nose and they don't breathe. So they are serving Mesim, they are serving something which is dead. And therefore, they also become like what they serve, where they also have this degree of the lack of life, of death in them, and everything that's related to it. Therefore, it comes out that someone that serves HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through him emanates life. But someone who serves idolatry, through him will emanate death. And on this person that is serving this will settle the same impurities that settle on a dead person. So we see there's a very great link between the idolater and between a dead person. And this is why the sages always refer to the idolaters as zivchei meisim, sacrifices of the dead. Because they're trying to find a path to the Almighty, to the source of all life, and it's a dead-end path. And this is why the Gemara says, Aveidah Zarah Metamei Kemeis, idolatry gives off the same impurities that a dead person would. This could be also the reason why a dead person becomes also impure. The question is always asked, that why, when a person dies, does he become impure? The answer could be this. Because when a person is alive, so he has a body and he has a soul. And the soul and the body become one. And the soul is attached to the Almighty. Therefore, there are constant sources of energies going into the body through the soul. There are physical energies and spiritual energies. And there are constant sources of tahara, of purity going into the body. The Gemara tells us that if a mikveh, a pure body of water, is metahir, has the power to purify. So if someone is attached to a mikveh, he becomes pure. Rabbi Kiva said, Ashreichem Yisrael. Fortunate is Yisrael, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is their mikveh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu constantly purifies them. Mi metare eschem. Who purifies you? Avinu Shebishamayim, your Father in heaven. What does this mean? Because when a person is living and he has a soul in him, the soul is attached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If the Almighty is the source of all purity, then a person constantly goes through a purification process. He constantly receives new energies and new life. But when he dies, and the soul returns to the Almighty, so now the soul has departed from the body. And the body is left now without an attachment to the Almighty. And it goes into the ground and it's isolated from the Almighty. No longer is there that bond to the source of purification. And therefore, tumah, an impurity, descends on it. Now, since the Torah, the Almighty decreed that the Pora Aduma, this red heifer, has, this red color, has a power to atone for the golden calf, then this means also it must have a power to purify from Tumas Mason, from the impurities of the dead. Because if it has a power to atone for idolatry, and an idolater are those who have become bonded to the powers of the dead. They serve an idol that's dead. And if this red cow has the power to atone for it, then it must also have the power to purify them from the dead. Therefore, we see that it serves two purposes. It is a chatas, a sin offering, where it will purify those that serve the golden calf, all of Israel. And at the same time, it can bring purity to all of those who come into contact with a dead person. Because just as the dead person has lost, the dead body has lost his bond to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore there's impurity on him, and there's impurity on anyone that comes into his contact, so this, the red cowl can atone, can purify him, just as it purified Klal Yisrael from the golden calf. These thoughts are very deep, but it gives us some insight into what is the function of the Porah Aduma. Now, one more point has to be clarified, and that is, we asked, the reason why a cow was to be brought, because the sin was with a calf, so therefore from the same species. But there was a calf and here's a cow. So we gave the example that the mother must come and rectify what her son did. But here, that the cow must come and rectify what the calf did, this does not make that much sense. The answer is as follows. The cow is rectified. Because when an idolater serves an idol, he is declaring, to the world, or is declaring to himself, that this idol is the source of the world. It's either the source of the entire world, or it's the ultimate source of one facet of the world. There were many idolaters that believed that there were more than one power in the world, more than one master of the world. There was a master over fire, and there was a master over rain, and there was a master over the wind. So the person believes that either this is the source of the entire world, or this is the source of one facet of the world. The fact that we bring a cow, this completely destroys that ideology. Because the cow is the mother of the calf. If this calf that they served is supposed to be the ultimate source of the world, and therefore it's Roi La'ovde, therefore it's befitting to serve it, so then how was it then that it was born from someone else? If it's the source of the world, then it has to be the Haskolah, it has to be the beginning of the world. It must be the beginning. And if there was a beginning before it, it means it was not the beginning. So the fact that we bring a cow, which is the mother, so we are demonstrating that the calf had a mother. So it destroys the entire ideology. No longer can it be the beginning. This is what the Chazal mean, that let the mother come and rectify the destruction that was done. That's why instead of bringing a calf, we bring the mother. And this brings to mind what we've spoken about several times before, and that is, the Medrash tells us that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, he created it with a base. Why did he choose the base? So it states that every letter came to the Almighty, and each one argued, create the world with me. The Tov came, and the Shin came, the Resh came, and the Kuf came, each one. And each one showed his milas, his advantages. This word begins with my letter, or I have a numerical value, the Tov said, of 400, and the Shin 300, and the Resh 200, and the Kuf 100, but each one was disqualified. Finally, when the Beis came, So the Almighty asked the Beis to state his case. So he said that with me begins the word brocha. So Kodesh Baruch Hu said, very good. The world needs brocha. So we'll use you to create the world. Meanwhile, the Aleph never had a chance to state his case. And he was standing in the corner. And he was very sad. And the Almighty came to him and said, why are you so sad? And he said, because what can I state? What can I argue? I don't even have a numerical value. Every letter has some numerical value. This one is 300, 200, 400. This one is 20. Even the base is 2. But I have no numerical value whatsoever. Aleph is 1. So I cannot even compete. So therefore he stood in the corner. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, don't be sad. Ani echod ve'ato echod. I am one and you are one. We have something in common. I'm saving you for bigger things. What can be bigger than the creation of the world? When I reveal myself at Sinai, and I give the Torah to Klal Yisrael, there I will reveal myself with the Aleph. As it states, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. The first word they heard from HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Anochi. And the first letter was the Aleph. So the world was created with the Beis, and the giving of the Torah with the Aleph. Why? So the answer is, the Maral explains in the Sefer Tiferes Yisrael, when it came to the creation of the world, this was the manifestation of Brocha. Creation means growth. There must be creativity. There must be productivity. This is the essence of creation. There must be growth. Brocha means growth. You want something to grow, to live, to expand. That's brocha. And it's lebechinam. It's not for no reason at all that the Beis happens to represent brocha. Every letter of the Hebrew alphabet and every word is with Ruach HaKodesh, is from HaKodesh Baruch. The first indication of growth in the alphabet is Beis. Because that's the first indication of any numerical value. Because the Aleph is 1. One is not a growth yet. The first growth is with 2. And that's the Beis. And therefore Beis is the letter which the word brocha starts. The first brocha that is evident in the alphabet, which is growth, is the Beis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that's what we need for the creation of the world. Because in the creation of the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to take his powers and his energies and let them grow in the world. So we need brocha. So he chose the Beis. So then why didn't he use this for the giving of the Torah? Brocha would be good for the giving of the Torah also. Now, the giving of the Torah was something else. The Torah preceded the world. The Gemara tells us that the Torah preceded the world over 900 generations. The Torah was before the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gazed into the Torah and from there he created the world. The Torah doesn't represent the creation of this world. The Torah represents the will of the Almighty. It's synonymous with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself to Klal Yisrael, he didn't want to show them brocha. He wanted to show them the source of the brocha. When you come to a mighty river, where is the greatest brocha? The greatest brocha is where the river is the strongest. Where is the source? You have to go all the way back. You have to go into the mountains. And if the river is strong, then you know that's the manifestation of the source, but that's not the source. The source will be where you find the first drop of water to come out, and nothing precedes it. And if something precedes it, then this is not the source. What preceded it must be the source. When the Almighty created the world, he wanted to bring brocha in the world. When he revealed himself to Klal Yisrael, There, he wanted to teach them the source of the brocha. Who is the source of the brocha? This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he came and he said, Anechi Hashem Elokecha. I am the Lord your God. The Chazal tell us that Kol HaTorah Kula, the entire Torah, is all encompassed in the Ten Commandments. So when he said the Ten Commandments, they heard the entire Torah. And the Chazal tell us that the entire Ten Commandments is all encompassed in the first two commandments. And that's why it states, Torah Tziva Lona Meisha, the Gemara tells us. And Torah, if you add up the numerical value, the Gemara says, of Torah, that's 611. Moshe said 611 commandments, and two were Mipi Agvura, two were from HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Anechi Hashem Elokecha, I am the Lord your God, ve'lo yelecho elohim acherim, you shall not have, make for yourself gods of others. So the entire Torah is encompassed in the Ten Commandments, and the entire Ten Commandments is encompassed in the first two. And those first two are encompassed in the first word, Anochi. I. There HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared without any names, because every name of the Almighty represents one facet of the Almighty. But Anochi is not a name, it's I. And the first letter of the Anochi, he chose the Aleph. Because you are one and I am one. What does that mean? Wherever there's two, you know that's not the source. Because it's already branched into two. It's already spread, it's already grown. The singleness, if you want the source. It's like it states at the beginning of the creation, Nar Yotza Me'Eden, a river came out of Eden, V'hoyol L'Abaroshim, and it branched out. It branched out into four heads. That was the bracha in this world. But the source is from a different world. And therefore the Almighty told the Aleph, don't be sad that you have no numerical value. If you have no numerical value, that means you represent a single source. You're like myself. Ani echod ve'ato echod. You are one and I am one. Therefore, when I reveal myself to Klal Yisrael and I want to teach them the source of creation, when I create the world, so I'll use the base, because that's the growth and the creativity of the world. But when I reveal myself to Klal Yisrael and I want to teach them the source of creation, there I will use the Aleph, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. So the Aleph was used to say the word Anochi, which encompassed all of the Ten Commandments, which encompassed all of the Torah. This is the single source. Now this is what we're speaking about here. The Jew was taught, he was given the secret of how to find the source of the world. And this he was given on Sinai, and this he was taught from Avraham Avinu. The Rambam writes, this was given to all of men, but it was lost and it was forgotten. And they went astray and they started to serve. Originally, all of the idolatry was called, the Rambam writes, Avedah Zorah, it was called Avdei Kechovim U'Mazolish, the serving of the stars and the planets and the celestial beings, because it all started with that. When they saw the great wonders, they wanted to serve it. And at first, they knew of the Almighty, but they said that these are servants of the Almighty, and we must give them honor because through this he will receive honor. But as the time went on, it became lost, and people thought they were gods on their own. And from there developed different types of Avedah Zorah that Rambam writes. This one would say that this is the way we must serve, and this one would say this is the way. And so on, Achidis Galgal Adover, until it came when the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was lost completely from the entire world, with the exception of a few individuals. And Avraham was the one who on his own discovered the source of the creation. And he went and taught it to the world, and he taught it to his children. So this is the genius of the Jew. When someone finds the source, then he's attaching himself to the source of life. And then he lives. Those who are adovik, those who cleave to Hashem, they have life. When someone does not find the source And he serves it. He's not serving something that's alive. Life means the essence of life. An independent life, and that's only by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rambam writes that if everything in the world would disappear, he would still remain. And if it would be possible for him to disappear, then everything would disappear. Because everything is dependent on him, and he is dependent on nothing else. So when you serve something else, then you are serving Mesim, something which is dead. And those that serve it become like what they serve. Therefore, Zivche Mesim. And this was the hate of the eagle. This is why, by the golden calf, they fell. They fell from their great level of life to the point where Amarti Elohim Atem, I said that Elohim Atem, that you were like God, but Ochein Ke Odem Temusum, you will die like men. The Pora Aduma, the Torah decreed, can atone for this. And we bring a cow which demonstrates just how dead of a god was the calf that they served. Because this calf was born from another source. And its mother was yet to be born from another source. Which demonstrates that you're not serving the source of life. You're merely serving something that does not have its own life. And through this, the Torah decreed, this can bring a purification. And bring a an atonement for the golden calf. And bring a purification to all of those who came into contact with something that was dead. Because whenever we come into contact with something that was dead, this was already isolated and detached from the source of life. And therefore it creates a tumah and impurity. So this gives us an insight into this parsha, lets us understand it a bit more, and also gives us a very important insight how the Jew must constantly seek the ultimate source of the world. He doesn't need to serve others or to serve the servants of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which are the sun, the suns, or the stars. When a Jew davens, he davens directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, goes right to the source. When he does mitzvahs, he fulfills the mitzvahs of the Almighty. And this is the lifelong task of the Jew, to constantly try to find and to serve the source of all life. And then he brings life to himself and brings himself to the higher level, to a degree of the higher level that Klal Yisrael stood when they received the Torah and they saw the Anechi Hashem Elokecha. They heard it from HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, and they came to that level where that's what the Gemara said, that Torah was given to Yisrael that the Malach HaMoves, even the angel of death, could not rule over them. This is a very important message for us. This is a lifelong task. We should all be Zeche to reach these levels until the ultimate, when once again we will be returned to that level at the time when Torah was given and man again came to the ultimate of purity. V'meirav Yomino.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@yGj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085 and via post at PO Box 66226 Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.